The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter. Jason Peter under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, we want to welcome you back this weekend to our show. Our next segment is being powered and brought to you by our friends at Pinnacle Bank. The way banking should be, go to their website at PINNBankTX.com. It is always a true pleasure to catch up with one of the brightest minds in college football, a three-time national champion, the great Jason Peter. And I will share with you, Jason, earlier this week, they were doing a replay on ESPNU of Texas-Nebraska. The finish wasn't, you know, all that great. I was hoping maybe they'd replay some of those national championship games that you were in.
Oh, James Brown rolls left. That's the infamous game right there. Don Makovic brings, I think they were 6-5 or 7-5, and we were, I think, number 3 in the country. We had worked our way all the way back up after the Arizona State loss earlier in the year, and that was one that, out of all the games that I've played in my collegiate career, that's one of two or three games that I think about a lot.
You know, I'm curious, Jason, with you guys now being in the Big Ten Conference, do you think down the road, I mean, we're hoping that, you know, Oklahoma, Nebraska will always find a place on your schedule, but what about Texas? I mean, because it seemed like it was, and we've shared this many times on the show, that it turned into a bit of a heated rivalry.
Yeah, and I think it's solely because Texas has had Nebraska's number. You know, it's a game that Nebraska fans are always looking forward to, or used to look forward to, because we always thought this is going to be the game where we get our revenge, and this is where we start our winning streak against Texas. And unfortunately, that never really happened. Texas just kind of had one of those things, kind of like you go back into the early 80s with Sooner Magic and all the games that they ended up pulling out over Nebraska. And it was something similar, I think, with Texas. And just naturally, I think, especially for Nebraskans up here and with the conference, when the Big 12 was formed, I think they saw kind of the balance in power switch from Nebraska to Texas. And I think that probably didn't sit well with a lot of Nebraskans. And because of that, there was, I think, a natural bitterness built up towards Texas football.
Jason Peter is with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. You can go to his website. That is jasonpeter.com. We're looking so forward to the month of October, his big celebrity golf tournament with Larry the Cable Guy. And I tell you what, it is hard to believe, truly, that the start of the college football season, Jason, is 2 weeks away. We've already had a major preseason scandal. I've got to ask you, you know, how do you even wrap your arms around this investigation at Miami that, you know, alleges this guy is, you know, free reign, cash, prostitutes, cars? I mean, have you ever seen anything like this?
It doesn't shock me, though. Miami is you know, they frequent controversy all the time. Back in 1993, when I was going through my recruiting trips, Miami was a school that I visited, and that was when Dennis Erickson was the head coach. There were a lot of rumors and allegations being put forth on the university back then, and he had kind of gave me his word that you know, they weren't going to go on probation, and that all of the rumors and you know, the talk out there was just that, was talk. So decide to go down to the University of Miami and take a trip, and my mother actually went on most of my recruiting trips to make sure that it wasn't just a scene of, you know, bringing in the 17-year-old kid and taking him out to clubs and what have you. Now, she obviously, you know, let me around the players and have a good time, because I think that's part of it too. You got to make sure that you feel comfortable and that there's guys that you could get along with. But it was funny, as the moment we landed they split my mom and I up, and they took her in one car, and they brought her back to campus or the hotel. And the first place they took me, straight off the plane, was down to South Beach, and myself and the strength coach and another coach walked along the nude beach. That was the first place they took me. And, you know, they're saying, oh, this would be your average day, coming down and, you know, models walking around topless and what have you. And right then you got to say to yourself, gosh, if this is the first place that they're going to take me, God only knows what's happening. I mean, when, you know, the coaches aren't around. So when I hear this stuff, you know, about players receiving multiple Escalades and you know, these sex parties and cash, it doesn't shock me at all.
Did you share that with your mother, you know, where they had taken you? And what kind of impression did that leave you with? You're 17 years old, my God.
Right, I know. She wasn't thrilled about it, but... yeah, I mean, now that, you know, time has passed, and I don't know if I told her as soon as I got home, because there was probably still a little voice inside me saying, well, maybe you do want to go down to Miami. You know, as a 17-year-old kid, you know, I grew up outside New York City, so there wasn't a whole lot that I wasn't, you know, that I hadn't encountered. But that was something certainly new to me. The nude beaches in New Jersey, I can guarantee you, they don't look like the nude beaches down in South Beach.
That's right, because Jason, now, of course, you grew up in New Jersey. Is it Locust? Where are you from in New Jersey? Howell?
Yeah, Middletown, Locust.
And was one of the top players to come out of that particular area. What other schools were recruiting you? I mean, did you come across anything where you potentially had like a booster, you know, maybe trying to hand you money or some cash or...
No, you know, I never really did. It just, I don't know. I think there are certain kids that give off that aura of, I'm ready to play ball. You know, you hear about Cam Newton and the whole pay for play at Mississippi State, and I think there's got to be a certain vibe that a player gives off that says, hey, I can be bought. And, you know, when you're showing up on recruiting trips with your mother, I don't think that is a sign that says, hey, I'm down for, you know, anything you want to throw my way. I think that tends to, I think, be a pretty good indicator of what schools, you know, are going to be, I think, in that ballpark of controversy. And, you know, they go after certain players. It's, I think the flashy guys that, you know, want to go to Miami or want to go to USC or want to go to some of those SEC schools, you know, there's all the talk even with Colt McCoy's wife and the comments she made about some of the guys that played on, you know, Texas' team and that were Colt's teammates that had a hard time saying no. So I think there's certain schools and certain players, and nowadays, especially with the recruiting services and building these kids up, you know, the future first round draft pick, and I think these kids show up on campus and they feel like, you owe me something. I'm doing you a favor by coming to your school, because ultimately my only goal is to play in the NFL. This place, this college stop, this it's exactly what it is. It's just a stop. It's just another you know, brick in the road. And you know, for me, I'm going to be out of here as soon as the NFL says you're that guy that we want. And you know, those are the wrong types of players. Not to say that all of them do it, but there's a good handful. And you know, I think it's a certain type of player. The sad thing is with Miami is that if it is true, and I find it hard to believe that all of this stuff is, you know, 100% false.
There's a lot of documentation out there too, Jason.
Right. The sad thing is that Miami's been garbage, you know, since the 2001 team, you know, that had Jeremy Shockey and all those guys. And
right.
I know there was some stuff going on that goes all the way back to that point, but there's also stuff that goes on all the way up to the current players that are there right now. And Miami just has been horrible lately.
Well, and you know what's interesting, too, is to see how is this all going to play out, because receiving benefits. This guy is claiming, Nevin Shapiro is claiming, Ja'Cory Harris, Ray Armstrong, Travis Benjamin. I mean, these are current players that are on the team right now. And, you know, what will the repercussions be ultimately? And how in the world is the NCAA, how are they going to do this investigation in time for, you know, to be able to make somebody pay and suffer the consequences of the choices that they have made?
Yeah, I think Al Golden, the new head coach, is.
That's right. It's in his first season.
He's going to be with a few less players than he originally thought. I think they're going to put Miami in a situation where they say, well, it's up to you. You can either hold these guys out. You know, you got to, I think, just have a gut feeling on some of them. And, you know, if you decide to play them and we end up finding out that they accepted cash gifts and cars and all that other stuff, then the games that they play, you're going to have to forfeit. And, you know, it's not that difficult, I think, to find out whether or not a kid took a car or took, you know, $50,000 cash. Ultimately, it will all come out. It always does nowadays. Because even the guy that's in the wrong, seems like everybody wants their 5 minutes of fame. And whether it's good fame or bad fame, it seems like this world today, everybody's obsessed with it. And they're going to get it one way or another. But, yeah, Miami is between a rock and a hard place here. They're going to have to make some crucial decisions. And I don't envy the job that Al Golden's got this year.
What about the NCAA? Do they need to start making some crucial decisions in regards to, do we need to start paying athletes? Because you're talking about, you know, so many of these athletes, student athletes, are coming from different, you know, backgrounds, and they don't have the resources, they don't have the money to be able to do things. So, I mean, when do we start? I know it's a slippery slope, but do we need to start paying athletes, Jason?
Yeah, I am one of those people that think you got to give them more. With the money that's being made off of these athletes, I mean, college football is the second biggest sport in the United States, and the money that these coaches and athletic directors and the school, the amount of money that they're making off of these kids, and, you know, you're giving them what? I mean, depending on where you're living, anywhere between $600 and $1,500 in scholarship check. I think you got to do something. But the problem is that the same kids that are taking something in the situation right now, they're still going to take more. If you give a kid an inch, he's still going to take a foot. He's still going to take a yard. I mean, they're just going to continue to want more and more and more. As long as it's being offered, I think a lot of them are going to have a hard time. Because, look, this is the thing. I mean, you know, you hear about Vince Wilfork from the Patriots and the two Escalades. You know, realistically, he could have taken two Toyotas, right? I mean, he could have.
Yeah, it's true.
He was looking for transportation. You know, the kid's just looking for a meal. You know, why is he not just going to take the meal from Outback? Instead, he's going to go, you know, if the meal from Ruth's Chris is being offered, he's going to take that. So they'll ultimately, in the end, if you're going to take something, you're going to take the most that you can get.
I like Ruth Chris. My husband and I were there last weekend for our anniversary. That's a good place to go.
It's a wonderful steakhouse. Unfortunately, we don't have one up here.
Oh, it's true, though, Jason, you're talking about. There's just so many temptations that are difficult to ignore, and these kids are coming from, you know, so many of them are coming from disadvantaged economic backgrounds. Okay, real quick, because we are running out of time, talk to us about Nebraska. I mean, how are things kind of shaping up? How are things looking? You know, as we had just said, we're 2 weeks away from the start of the season.
Yeah, it is right around the corner. Well, I think the big news, well, there were a couple things, but certainly Bubba Starling, the true freshman that was coming in to play quarterback from outside Kansas City, he decided to play baseball, and he signed a contract with the Kansas City Royals for 3 years and about $7.5 million.
You cannot blame him for that, though, Jay.
Can't blame him.
No.
Not at all.
Were you disappointed?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't disappointed in the decision that he made. Disappointed that I didn't get to see this kid develop over the next 4 to 5 years. you know, when Coach Osborne says that he's one of the special kids, you know, that he's seen come out of high school, you know, that says a lot. And you just naturally, I think, want to see the great football players out on the field. But, you know, it's over, it's done with, you got to move on. And Taylor Martinez is our quarterback. And even if Bubba Starling showed up and continued if he did practice, I don't know if he would have been the starter on game one or if he even would have cracked the starting lineup, you know, for the rest of the year. But Taylor Martinez is the guy, and, you know, he's certainly capable. Now, the other big news, I guess, coming out of fall camp here is their preseason All-American corner, Alfonso Dennard, has gone down with, they're calling it a leg injury.
Okay.
I've heard it was more of a hip injury. And for those corners that, you know, have to backpedal and turn and run you know, they've got to chase some of those wide receivers who are some of the greatest athletes in the world, you know, it's hard to do that when you're dinged up. Those guys are like thoroughbreds out there, and when you're putting them out on an island against some of those 6'2 and 6'3 receivers that can run 4'3, 4'4, you got to be at full health. And I think what Bo Pelini wants to do defensively, you know, starts obviously with taking away all those vertical lanes and forcing teams to go east and west instead of north and south. But also a lot of what he does is being able to take those corners and lock them up in man coverage and be able to commit extra guys to the run. Or, you know, nowadays you're having to play so many teams that go four and five wide that you're kind of forced into that man coverage. So you need two shutdown corners. You need two guys that can go out there and shut down the offense's top receivers. So we'll see what happens with him. Hopefully they can get him back as soon as possible, but it's certainly an injury you don't want to rush.
What's the projection? When do they anticipate he's going to be back? Now, he's a senior this year.
About 4 or 5 weeks. So he'll probably miss, you know, the first few games, and that's not a big deal. You got Chattanooga to start off and Fresno State and then Washington. You know, they might try to get him back for that game. But, you know, we'll see. I'm sure he'll be back by the start of Big Ten season, which kicks off October 1st at Wisconsin. So, you know, we just kind of crossing our fingers here, and hopefully he gets back as soon as he can.
Jason Peters, Nebraska Cornhuskers, of course, last year were 10-4. Bo Pelini in his fourth year at Nebraska. We'll see how it all plays out. And, Jason, always a pleasure having you on, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next week. Hopefully no more scandals in the next 7 days, right?
I know. Let's cross our fingers.
Absolutely.
Thanks,
okay, you bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a moment.